Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the master of mirth and inveterate storyteller Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Together, we, the Brieflies, strive with dogged determination to keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of somewhat intelligent discussion of events laced with humor and empathy. And we also strive to follow Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Today, I will introduce the Brieflies, and I will do it very briefly.
Please.
Sitting beside me and engineering the show from behind the board of the Voice of Vachon Jean Bosch Broadcast Studio is my friend and a partner in Treetop Flyers, Truman O'Brien. Hi, Truman.
Good morning. I'm so excited about today's show.
Oh, it's
can't wait.
I am too. Zooming in from his home here on Vachon above Burton is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, Kevin Jones. Welcome, Kevin.
That's me. Hey, good to see everybody and glad to see we got some guests in the studio today.
All right. Zooming in from his home is our historian extraordinaire, president of Vachon's own Fantastic Heritage Museum, Bruce Holman. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, good morning to be here and looking forward to the show.
Great. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, we've dispensed with the lengthy resume introduction because we have a wonderful group in the studio today. We're joined by Anna Sander, owner and teacher of Vachon's own Honeybee Preschool, and 11 young, very young singers and students who will be singing some Christmas carols live today. Before we learn a little bit more about Anna and the preschool and hear the honeybees sing, I just wanted to check in if anybody had anything in particular that went on that you wanted to tell us about. Bruce, did you have anything?
Had the orientation for the Australia-New Zealand program on Saturday. So met all the students and very excited about that. And we leave in early January, come back in mid-March. This will be my final soiree down under as a teacher. So looking forward to it.
We will miss you when you're down in Australia, New Zealand, and hope for your safe and quick return in the spring. So, Kevin, how about you?
Hey, I just have to say the pine siskins have made another arrival at the Jones Bird Feeder household. If you've never had pine siskins at your feeder, you've never seen a more collaborative, cooperative group of birds. They're totally awesome. I will also say that we have just yesterday the grand unveiling, for those who want that government that we can respect or at least tolerate, the grand unveiling of the Indivisible Vachon Get Out the Vote webpage for 2024. Uh-huh. IndivisibleVachon.org. Click on the banner at the top. Feast your eyes on all the opportunities we have ahead of us. So,
All right. How about you, Truman?
To today's opportunity, of course, with
I cut you off there, Kevin. Sorry.
No worries.
No, I'm just so excited to hear these kids sing and hear. I'm going to pass on.
You're going to pass? I'm going to pass, too.
Good.
All I've been doing is, remodeling around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody needs to hear about that.
Exactly.
All right. I did want to mention that today is a significant day, as are all days. December 12th is the 346th day of the year. 19 days remain until 2024. And 13 days remain until Christmas. Yay! today is National Gingerbread House Day, Corral Day, which is apropos, the Virgin of Guadalupe Day, National Ding-a-ling Day. which could take on many different meanings. I think it's they're talking about calling a friend or a relative and saying hello on the phone. Truman and I are interested in the fact that Chuck Yeager reached Mach 2.43 in his Bell X-18 rocket plane today in 1953.
Yep.
And in 1980, Apple computer went public. And if you bought stock back in 1980, you're doing okay today. Our small talk, without further ado, guest is Anna Sander, owner and teacher of the Honeybee School and a bunch of Honeybee Play School students. Anna, have you got access to a microphone?
This one?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, you're good.
We'll make sure that you're coming in loud and clear. You and your students have visited the Voice of Vashon a number of times since 2015. And I've been honored to have you on my shows, The Morning Scramble, off and on since 2018. And you've always been one of the highlights of the season.
Oh, that's so nice. It's really fun for us, so thank you.
Good. I'm glad you're all here. Before we actually hear some caroling, I'm curious, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how the Honeybee Play School got started?
Sure. I grew up on Vashon, graduated from high school here, left for college, got my teaching degree, had babies, moved home, and it kind of fell into the opportunity to start a school. And that was 10 years ago. It's art-based, play-based, and a whole lot of fun.
Great. Where did you go to? Where did you get your degree?
Western.
Ah, up in Bellingham.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, just full disclosure, she is a year younger than my daughter and was in the class behind my daughter at the high school. Yeah.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. With connections all around.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce, did you have a question? You're going to jump in. Do you have my monitor by any chance? So
yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, just tell us a little bit about what led you to create the Honeybee Play School and what philosophy of education you bring to it, and why has it been such a successful option for parents on Vashon?
I'm going to have to take that one and repeat it for you, Bruce, because we're not able to do both and have you on the monitor
Okay.
So basically, the question had to do with your philosophy of teaching these preschool students and what the focus is of what you do at the Honeybees.
The focus is different every year because the kids are different every year. So I always have big plans for art and science and hands-on learning that include lots of playtime, but every year the kids are interested in different things, and so I just kind of start with where they're at and go from there, let them lead a little.
There is a lot of art involved, is there not? Yeah, a lot of creativity. And do you go to Liz Lewis's sometime?
We went to Liz's for years, but she's stopped teaching classes.
Okay. My granddaughter came up from Ashland one summer and spent a month or so in that class with Liz. That was great. You do other things. I looked at your website and you have watercolor tutorials. You have camps. You have
Kevin.
Yeah, but I don't know if Kevin can get through.
We can hear him and we can repeat his question.
Okay. So. Yeah. Go ahead, Kevin. What are you going to ask?
Well, nope. I was wondering if you said that every time the school convenes, the program is a little different. What kind of things have you done in the past, and where do you think the program's headed?
Yeah. Question was, what kinds of things have you done in the past, and where do you think the program is headed? You indicated that you've changed things up from time to time. What kinds of things different have you done since your inception? How did you say 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's mostly the same every year, except one year kids were really interested in narwhals. So we studied narwhals for a month instead of the curriculum I usually had for that month.
Mm.
Because they were so into it that I could just throw my curriculum out the window and go with what they wanted to do. But for the most part, it's very seasonal and art and nature-based and a lot of play.
And have you got anything planned in the future specifically, or you take it as it comes?
Take it as it comes.
Okay.
For sure.
True creativity. Yes. Let's see. And what are the ages typically of the students in the preschool?
4 and 5.
4 and 5. Okay.
And how many do you have right now, Anna?
In a usual year, I have 8. This year, I have 9.
9. Okay. And how many do we have here today? We have 11 here today.
We have 11 because we have 2 siblings.
Oh, a
couple
of
Honeybee alumni came back to sing with us today.
Oh, all right. All right. Good deal. Yeah.
Alumni, love it.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to hear these guys. Can we have them do a song?
Sure. Yeah. Before we do that, real quickly, I just wanted to ask you, you've got I looked on the website and when I Googled, I saw that there are honeybee schools by that name in some other states. You're not associated with them,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not.
You're totally independent
of
that.
Totally independent.
Not a part of any other organization.
No.
It's all yours right here,
yep,
on Vashon.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's it.
That's great. And if people want to find out more about the honeybee preschool, they just put in honeybee preschool Vashon and it'd probably pop right up,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, it should pop right up.
Yeah, and it did for me. So that worked. All right. So now that we have some of those preliminaries out of the way, let's start out with a couple of songs, and then we'll try to meet some of the honeybees. And so everybody get close to a microphone and when you're ready. And we've got some musical accompaniment, so it's up to you when you're ready. Go for it.
Do you want me to count? Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. Oh, what fun to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Ha!
Making feel it. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in one horse open sleigh.
It's hard for me to restrain myself from singing along. I know. By the way, on the 19th next week, Father Christmas is going to be at the Vashon Theater leading caroling at 6 o'clock in the evening. So those of you who want to come in there, there's a guy who resembles me in a big red robe. So do you have a second song, everybody?
It's Rudolph. Everyone ready to
sing
Rudolph?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Okay, yep. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Should we do the opening first?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Vixen.
Won't
Yippee!
All right. Fantastic.
Hey, who wants to tell me? Whoa. My motorcycle got involved here. Who wants to tell me their names? Anybody want to?
You,
me. Okay, well then let's start right here then. And talk right into that microphone. Tell me what your name is.
Caleb.
All right, and how old are you?
I'm 4.
4?
Yep.
I'm 4. Okay, good enough. 4 years old. Yes.
I'm Bowen.
All right, nice. And how old are you?
5.
I think we're going to get similar answers.
Yeah, we are.
4 or 5. Yes, and?
My name is and I'm 6.
6. Oh, okay, 6.
My name is Henry, and I am 4.
4. Okay, well, thank you. Let's move on to the next microphone. What is your name?
Maeve.
Nice. And how old are you?
4.
4. Okay. Go ahead. Anybody else want to chime in there?
Me.
Just that. We'll get right to you in a moment.
My name is Ina, and I'm 7 years old.
Are you alumni?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. No.
Nope. Okay. That's fine. No stress. Now we want
that's
to know.
That's your turn. What is your name?
Sky.
Sky. Oh, that's a pretty name. And how old are you, Sky?
4.
All right. How about you, darling?
Catball, and I'm 4.
Okay. And you, sir?
Right into this microphone.
Into the microphone right here. What is your name? I can't hear you.
What's your name?
Ari. Okay. Ari. Cool. And you're 4?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Anybody else? Who's going to talk into the mic here?
Here's one.
Oh. Yes, maybe. Yes. Go for it.
It looks like somebody got shy.
You can listen to it. This is, by the way, this radio show is going to be archived, and you can listen to it, at your leisure and hear if you recognize any of those names and ages. Now, let me ask you something else. Does anybody have a favorite thing that they like about Christmas? Anybody got anything that
candy.
They thought about?
Candy. All right.
Well, that didn't waste any time on that one, did you? Yeah. Yes.
Presents.
Okay.
Candy and presents.
Candy and presents.
And presents. Both.
Yeah. Why mess around? Yes. What?
Monster truck.
Oh, yeah. I got my headphones on. I couldn't catch a lot of that.
Yeah.
How about anybody else? Is there any other part? Yes. What is your favorite part of Christmas?
Presents and candy.
Presents and candy. Okay.
All right. That sounds
there's
like a
candy,
popular,
well, there's candy
popular
and presents,
theme.
And then there's presents and candy.
Yeah. It's a popular theme. I think I agree with them.
That's right. Anything else that you like about Christmas?
How about Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You want to tell us what you like about Christmas?
Candy.
Candy. Okay. yeah, that's right. How about, do some of you have big Christmas meals where you,
I was just
where
thinking
you eat
that,
too
yeah?
much?
No. Yeah. No.
Just the right amount. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Only one
Christmas cookie.
Only one. Okay. If the ones that Santa left behind.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, before you put the cookies out.
Here's one. This guy.
Yeah.
Had
what?
Something to say.
Talk right into that orange, mic.
Eggnog.
Eggnog is one of my favorite things. That,
I think they probably have a different version.
Yeah,
than
I know.
That one that you
I like eggnog so much that when I go into a restaurant and they ask me how I like my eggs, I go, nog.
Nog. Yeah, there you go.
I'm with you. Anybody else want to say anything about Christmas? Yes? No? Maybe? Let me think. How about the Christmas tree? Do you like Christmas trees?
Yeah.
Do you help?
I like all my Christmas decorations.
Cool.
And do you have, does anybody have a cat that lives at home with them. You have a cat?
I have a dog.
You have a dog. The dog.
I have chickens.
Oh, you
chickens.
Have a chicken.
And I have a dog.
And you have a dog.
Okay.
Yeah, dog and a cat.
Yeah, we ask about the cat because sometimes cats like to crawl up the tree.
The tree, yeah.
Yes, you were saying?
I got a dog and a cat.
You have a dog,
dog
and a cat.
Dog and a
yeah.
cat. All right.
Yeah.
So do the dogs bother the trees or only the cats? Nobody? Do dogs bother the trees? No?
Depends on...
No?
Mine's
small. Uh-uh. Yeah, oh, yours is small.
How
small?
What kind of
mine's
dog is it?
Small, too.
It's what?
Don't know. I was going to say, some okay. chihuahuas, they're rough. They're tough.
They're tough guys, yeah.
They growl at you. So. Little guys.
I only have one.
Yeah. You only have one.
I understand.
Okay. All right.
I have all my Christmas decorations.
Great. Great. Is somebody decorating a tree today by any chance?
I already decorated my tree.
That's good. You guys, a lot of you have.
I already decorated my tree.
Me too.
Same. Like
you like the what? You
like? I like decorated my tree.
Oh, Deck, you already decorated your tree. Okay.
I already decorated my tree.
Okay.
Same.
That's good. That's good. Did anybody go out into the woods and cut down their own tree?
No, mine's a fake one.
Oh. What Hers color is it? Is it?
Green.
It's green. Green. Okay.
It's well, a fake it's, one, but it's green.
But it's green. That's yeah. good.
All right.
Yay. Okay. It's a white tree. Christmas show.
Oh yeah.
Actually a movie.
Yeah, a white tree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you it like white be. Christmas trees? Not
no,
really.
No,
not so much. Okay.
He likes green ones. Yeah.
But it's not the monkey. It's not George's tree. It's the lobby man's tree.
It's a what kind of man's tree?
The doorman.
Oh, the doorman's
oh, okay.
tree.
Oh, okay. That's to be not to be confused with the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which I think at our house this year we're getting a Christmas tree that we're getting out of our off of our property, and the Christmas tree is about the size of this microphone.
A little
about
bitty this, one,
the little
huh?
tiny one because our house is a big mess because we're doing all kinds of work. Show.
She has a she has
yeah
a
yeah comb. Yeah yes what.
I have an angel on top of my Christmas tree.
Oh, that's
tree.
Good.
All right, yeah. Boy, how did you get that angel up there?
My mom put it up.
Oh, that's a handy person to have around, huh?
Which one's your mom?
The one back there.
Waving. Oh, the pretty one yes. back there waving.
You know, I don't know if we made this clear. We didn't indicate that there are lots of family that yeah, are in the studio. The studio too. Is full of not only honeybees, but
no more people can come in here.
not unless they're somehow related to you guys.
That's right.
I guess.
That's right.
So, only us.
That's right. How
but
about
yes, no
how about the way you feel about Christmas? Is it a time for love and for kindness and
yes. no, love, yeah. love, love, yeah. love, love,
love, and candy, candy.
Yeah, some of yeah, love, love, presents. We get back to that.
We got to get back to it.
Oh, that's great.
Spending Christmas.
Ah.
No, having snowball fights and
presents. Oh, snowball fights. Wouldn't it be nice if it snowed just before Christmas? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody loves that, except for the people who have to go to work.
So
what? What?
Snowed on the top of them?
No.
The gates get frozen. The gates
huh?
get
frozen. Oh, I see.
No,
oh,
the yes. ones on my pot on top of them, they get totally frozen.
Totally frozen. Yes, I understand. The Fisher Pond out here sometimes gets totally frozen. Not very often, it seems, anymore, but it does on occasion. So, okay, let's try another song.
Yeah, we have one more song.
Yeah, well, this is the last song that you're going to be singing today, which is great. We love not that it's the last song, but it's great that you're all here singing. So, but let's put our heart and soul into this one so that everybody can hear. Okay.
Ready? Okay. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
I'm gonna sing it two
times. Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Christmas and a happy new year, all of you. Yeah, I hope absolutely. You have just a great, great season, not just Christmas morning or Christmas Eve, but this from here on all the way to New Year's Day.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very
you're
welcome.
Very welcome.
Take a turn to say thank you into the microphone if you
want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
And we'll send out the link to the show so you can go right to the show and listen to it when you're ready. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much for having us.
Anna,
this is the highlight
Anna
of
Sanders,
our year.
This is wonderful.
Thank you very much.
We really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Wow. Those were the honeybees
amazing.
Of the Honeybee Play School. What a great group.
Oh, yeah.
And all their proud parents.
Yeah, they were too fun. And if you go on to our YouTube, will it be on our YouTube website?
On right now.
Oh, it's on Facebook
this is
right
live?
Now.
Live
oh, so we're streaming right now, live.
Bye now.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Thank you.
And the returning alums. I thought the returning alums was fast.
Wasn't that great? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was just too much fun. The having 11 of those little characters in there was just a hoot. So,
did you set a new Gene Bosch downtown studio attendance maximum?
I don't think so. I think we've had a few. Well, for sure the youngest. That was probably the youngest bunch that we've had for sure.
Another milestone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. It really has been a privilege that I think since 2018 I've had them in on my shows, the Morning Scrambles, and but this is by far and away the biggest group that's ever come into the studio.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
I'm thrilled.
Oh, that was so fun. Boy, thanks for doing that, Craig. I know you you put this together, and that was that took some effort to get all those characters in here, but. That was fun. And
okay,
Anna,
now it's time to go home. No, it's not.
Yeah. And Anna Sander, we need to say thanks very much to her for putting that together. That was great.
Yeah.
Very good.
The kids seem to just love it. Hey, and thank you, Kate Dowling. So our executive director was in here filming, taking pictures of the backs of our heads.
Yeah. Oh boy.
You know,
the best view, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's right. Because we have faces for radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you guys, do you have a favorite thing you like about the holiday season? Is it just a pain in the patoot?
I got one for you. Listen, you know, for years we would decorate the Christmas tree and when we did, we would put on John Denver when he performed with the Muppets.
And aren't you supposed to apologize whenever you mention
that? Yeah,
anything?
I do. I say, sorry, Bob. But John Denver and the Muppets, that is a great album. There's just some fun music in it. And we always would put that on and decorate the tree. So that's kind of a family tradition at my house.
Any traditions over at your house, Bruce or Kevin?
Well, I'll jump in. So we went up to town, got a tree this year. We were thinking we'd go out and cut one out at Augie's, but we were there midweek. So, you know, we went up to the group outside of IGA. And the great thing was we brought it home. It's all decorated now. But last year on Christmas Eve, late at night, I was the elf that put up all like the Christmas lights in the living room, just as a surprise. And they're still there. They've been up there all year. They're kind of discreet, you know, in the off season, but really lights up the room this time of year. So that's we're really looking forward a nice, bright, and cheery Christmas here at our house.
Fantastic.
That's great. How about you, Bruce?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. Electric trains.
Ah, yes, yes.
Age where we all grew up with electric trains. When I pulled, this was a couple years ago, I hadn't pulled them out for a while, but pulled them out, and my grandsons who and granddaughters, who are now sort of 6 to 10 years old in that range, they loved them. It was just a fascinating, you know, I mean, they're playing, they're playing video games, and they've got their, you know, their video things they're carrying around all the time. And they're, you know, but they just were fascinated with electric trains. And a couple of them said, this is my favorite time of Christmas. It's when the electric trains come out. And it's sort of like, what?
What? You know,
I thought that old analog kind of stuff that we grew up with was an old hat, but there is a magic to electric trains.
It's like it's like cats with toys. They prefer the boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do my grandkids.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the trains. We have some friends who have kind of a collection of old and new trains, and they have and new trains that look like old trains.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny how these beautiful trains you can get now, and they're not real expensive. They actually gave us one of these sets. I got it. That you reminded me. I got to pull that out and make sure I've got that thing set up, because it is really a beautiful train. Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Yeah, so Bruce, I'm curious, you know, I grew up in the age of the shift to smaller model trains. I'm curious what gauge train you have in your setup.
My trains are standard gauge,
which standard
is
gauge,
the largest, and so they're pretty massive. You know, around our tree, we only have a circle. We don't have a big layout kind of thing for the Christmas tree, but you can have an engine and maybe three cars, and that's about it. But what I do is I bring out a passenger train and a freight train and a steam engine and electric engine, so they can trade out pieces. And it's for little kids, it's actually those big standard gauge trains are actually, they're massive enough that they really feel substantial in their hands. And they just love it. I mean, it blew me away. I did not expect that reaction from those kids.
That's heartening.
They were about 5 or 6 years old, so they're old enough to, And it was just sort of like, it's fascinating and still fascinates.
You're bringing back memories. I grew up in West Seattle, and we left West Seattle in the middle of my kindergarten year. So I was like 5 years old or something. But across the alley, the neighbor had one of those in their basement, these large layouts. It was probably 4x8, you know, sheet of plywood type thing. But it was the smaller gauge, right? It was the HO gauge. And so you could fit quite a bit into that area. But I remember being visiting all the time. I'm sure I was a pest, you know. Can I see those trains again?
My neighbor in San Mateo, California, when I stayed there until third grade, I guess, his father had built him a train set that was on large pieces of plywood all put together that filled the entire garage.
Wow.
And it had a counterweight on it, a big concrete counterweight that you could lift and lower to bring this thing up to the ceiling and then bring it down. And at Christmas, of course, it was always brought down. And I'd never seen anything like it. I mean, it was like going to Macy's in San Francisco.
Yeah.
To see this train and the train setup that they had. It was unbelievable.
I was going to say, my wife tells the story that every year they would go back to visit the cousins back in Iowa. And there was this family. There was, I don't remember now, 2 or 3 brothers and a couple of sisters. Anyway, they all lived together. Into their aging, you know, when they were older, they all were still together. And in the winter time, since they couldn't farm in the sun, in the winter, they had a huge, in the basement, a huge train set. I mean, this thing was enormous, I guess, where you crawl underneath and pop up in places to do things. And they were fascinated as kids. They would get to go and see that every year.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But,
I have the original train set I had as a real young kid, a Lionel, mm-hmm. with that big, powerful black, I can't remember, the 14 whatever, you know, the engine on it, and the coal car that had the whistle in it, and the smokestack on the engine that you put a pill in and the smoke would come out. Yeah. And the thing still runs like a dream. Runs like a deer. No, that's a different.
Yeah, a different
that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's a interesting time of the year. Obviously, it's a time that some people have very high expectations, and their reality doesn't quite meet up with the hype, if you will, that we're all supposed to feel merry and gay and happy and. Have you ever had a bout of depression during Christmas? I'm getting into pretty personal stuff here, but if you have you been able to work your way through it? It seems like you have, because you guys are all in great shape today.
Well, it depends. It depends. No, of course, I spent, I guess I was away at least 3 Christmases when I was in the military. And of course, my first one was in Vietnam.
Right.
And I've told this story before, but there's two things that happened. One, my I went on R&R actually in the first part of February, end of January, first part of February, and my parents had sent me a package that took a long time to get there, and so I went to Thailand for R&R. I was gone for a week. And when I got back, the kid in the mailroom said, "Oh, my God, you're back. Thank goodness." I said, "What?" He says, "We're being totally invaded by ants."
Oh,
geez. And I said, "What? What?" Well, this box that my folks had sent me had a cake in it. And the cake, of course, was not in great shape to start with. And then it had sat in the mailroom. And the ants attacked that thing, and they were just overrunning the mailroom. So I had to take the thing out. We obviously had to throw it away. There was no chance.
You scraped the ants
off?
No.
Well, I will have to say that the next year, they didn't send me a cake. I was in Germany the next year. Instead, they sent me a smoked turkey. Well, the same thing happened. This turkey was, very late getting there. And when I opened the box, it was covered in green mold. The whole outside of the turkey. Well, I got to tell you, folks, I peeled the skin off of that turkey and the mold.
Beautiful.
That was the best darn turkey you ever had. I'm telling you, it was great.
That's interesting. Yeah, those were before the days of Federal Express whatnot.
Gosh,
how long did it take mail like that to get over
forever,
there? What were your parents thinking?
Forever. Who knows? Who knows? But I will say one more thing. I had another present from my older brother, and this one really was significant. It was a box about 3 feet long, and I thought, what in the heck is my brother sending? This is Christmas time, and it actually got there before Christmas, and I opened the box, and it was a Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree. I mean, not a fake one. He probably went out and cut it off his neighbor's yard or something, knowing my brother. But it was a little dry, and leaves or the needles were starting to fall off a bit. But hey, we put that thing up, and we found a bunch of decorations to stick on it. I don't remember now what, but I'm telling you, that was the hit of our unit, having that little Christmas tree there. It was
pretty
cool.
Where was your brother living at the time?
Right? In Montana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was
okay.
In Helena at the time.
Oh,
yeah.
Where they actually have Christmas trees.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say he may have gone out and taken it from his neighbor's yard. I'm not sure.
No.
But anyway, I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
If I can jump in.
Yeah, Bruce. Yeah.
Interesting Bashan story. In the mid-60s, 65 or 66, the JCs organized to send Christmas packages to all the servicemen in Vietnam from the island. And there's a photograph of them lined up. There must be 15 or 20 packages stacked in the Burton post office ready to mail. And they included Christmas cookies. They included a small Christmas tree, must have been maybe 1.5-2 foot long Christmas tree, letters from friends and family, And just a whole sort of way to make those young men in Vietnam feel like they weren't quite so far away from home. So yeah. Pretty fascinating how that worked at the time.
Yeah, and made a huge difference.
It did take a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It did make a big difference, didn't it?
Well, it's huge.
Ants or otherwise.
Ants, yeah. I mean, well, I was teased about the ants for weeks after that, you know. But, hey, you got ants in your pants, O'Brien?
Oh, jeez. You know, do you guys remember any of your favorite presents that you received either as a child or as an adult?
Yeah, I got one. In fact, I just saw a picture of it here not too long ago. Now, first, I have to back up and say that this is when I lived in Texas. I was, eight or nine. But our phone, I've told this story before, but our phone had a crank on it. You know, right. That was how you made the ringer work by turning the crank. And you get an operator. And, hey, Betty, can you connect with the Thorntons, you know? Oh, yeah, hang on, click, 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 you know. Well, what I got for Christmas was a telephone switchboard, you know, with the little plugs and stuff. I thought that was so cool because then I could be Betty, you know.
That's right. You could be Betty.
Yeah. Or Bruce. Or,
well, we're going to call you Betty from now on.
I'm sure. I figured that would probably be coming.
Is this the person to whom I am
speaking?
To whom I'm
speaking. That's her. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool. And so I got to play with that. And I have to tell you that it was important using that thing because once I got to Europe in the Army, we had some crypto equipment, you know, I was in an intelligence unit, hard to say, but we had crypto gear where we could communicate between our various branches. And on the back of that thing, every day you would have to take the back off and reprogram it from a book that everybody had. And it was those same plugs and wires. And so I thought, oh my gosh, this is like back when I was a kid, 8 years old, you know. Here we go.
So that's like the military producing technology that then went out to the market, right?
Exactly. That was it.
That happened.
Yep.
That and Tang.
Yeah, and Tang. Yeah, from NASA.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. The astronauts.
Yeah.
How about you, Kevin or Bruce? Do you remember any particular favorite present that you received, or one maybe you'd like to receive? you can put the word out.
Well, I'll tell you what comes to mind, and I'm sure that there's some others that are back there that haven't emerged yet, but I had when I bought the Fiat Spider, it had a lot of needs, and one of the needs that it had was tires, and so I did some research on, you know, what kind of tires would be really great on that kind of a car, and put that out to the world, and on Christmas Day, there's a little box, like about 2-inch by 2-inch box, and four little tiny tires in the box. That was just the calling card for the four tires that were out in the garage.
All right.
That's nice. They weren't taunting you by just giving you the little tiny tires.
No, it was a real deal, but they didn't want to have to wrap those big boys up.
Big tires. How cool is that? That is really great.
Still have those little tires, by the way, over here on the shelf.
That's great.
Hey, Bruce, you have anything that comes to mind?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a twin brother. So, you know, it was always interesting because we always got two of everything, you know, and always identical. But when we got the electric trains, there was only one electric train. So it's sort of like, how do you share a gift like that? And we managed to. But probably the most amazing was when we got our bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
We both got, you know, regular pedal bicycles, you know, and I mean, for us at that age, you know, that we must have been 7-8 years old, something like that. I mean, it just opened the world, you know, you could go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I mean, that was really memorable.
You know, it's funny as I think back on it, the thing that comes to my mind are some of the presents I gave, which I thought were particularly good. And you reminded me just now, Bruce, when we were first on the island, we lived out on the Burton Peninsula. And we had given our son and daughter, who were quite young at the time, 4 and 7, I think, or 5 and 7, bicycles. and they wanted to go for a ride on their bicycles. And I go, well, of course you can go for a ride. I go, but where are you going? And they go, well, we're just going to go down to the dock, to the boat launch, Jensen Point. And I said, okay. I said, but you know, you don't have any locks, so you're going to really have to watch those bikes, because they can be taken Burloined. Quickly. Yeah. And they said, oh no, yeah, no, we promise, we'll watch our bikes. Boy. Absolutely, we'll watch them. So they took off, and my wife and I went and followed them at a distance. We tailed them. And we watched them as they parked their bikes where the boathouse, the crew house is now, kind of in the woods there. And they laid them down, and they went down to the boat launch, at which point my wife and I went in there and stole their bikes.
Oh, no.
And we...
The Grinches.
That's
the
right. Grinches, sir. We took those bikes and we moved them just, you know, a little ways away to where kind of we were hiding in the woods. And they came up, back up to where their bikes were, and they couldn't find their bikes.
Oh.
And my...
You guys are so mean.
My 5-year-old son is laying on the asphalt there. And he's going, they're going to kill us. They are going to kill us. We let it last for all of about 10 seconds before we revealed the fact that we had taken their bikes. And I said, you know, that was a tough, albeit short, lesson. And they go, okay, yeah, we got it. I think we understand now.
Yeah.
And I said, that's all it takes. Just a couple of seconds of inattention and those brand new bikes could be gone.
Yeah.
So that's that's the great
Greg,
Christmas bicycle heist tradition in our family. Yes, Kevin.
Have they ever forgiven you?
No.
They
just added it to the list.
Yeah.
I just put it on my tab.
Yeah, well, I will have to say that I had that same experience with a wallet when the parents were away and aunt and uncle were here attending us kids. And I would leave stuff out on the counter, like my wallet. Right? And all of a sudden, one day I come in and it's not there.
Oh, boy.
And it wasn't anything to do with Christmas. It was not there. And I'm kind of freaking out. And my uncle is like, yeah. See, this is why you don't leave your stuff on the counter.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he produced it out of his back pocket. Mm-hmm. So. Yep, I've been there, done that.
Well, I have a bicycle story as well. So I moved to Montana when I was 11, and we moved in, I think in January, right after Christmas. And my father had already gone to Montana. He was already up there. In fact, I'm not sure that he was even home for Christmas. I kind of have a feeling that he wasn't. I don't remember now. But what I got for Christmas that year was a bicycle, and it was a... It was when they had first come out with 10 speeds, or probably 3 speeds in those days, but it was a little skinny, tired guy. Well, I lived out in the country, dirt, you know, gravel roads, I mean, dirt roads. And the only smooth spot there was, do you know what caliche is? You guys know what that is?
Caliche sounds like a food.
No. Caliche is it's a calcium, something. Anyway, it's a material that from the Permian Basin down in West Texas. It's white, and they used it for roads, and it got packed down so that you'd have smooth stretches of about 10 feet, and then you'd be back to, you know, rough roads. So I would go down and ride my bike on those little 10-foot sections with those skinny tires. And I thought, man, this is really cool, right? Because, I mean, you know, it was a racing bike, right? Well, what's interesting is when I finally moved to Montana in January, my father had also bought a bike for me for Christmas. Mm. And this was stored down in the basement. And they would absolutely not let me ride that. It was a Schwinn, I remember. Mm. But they would absolutely not let me ride that bike until I wore the other one out. So it took years to get to ride that Schwinn bike.
Did you like the new one better?
No, actually, I did. I like my original.
Oh, okay.
Raleigh or something?
Yeah,
like
Raleigh.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Raleigh makes a good bike. Yes, Kevin. Go.
Yeah, so I pretty much started on a Schwinn three-speed as well. it was not as cool as like the Stingrays that were out at the time, right?
Oh, that was much later. Yeah,
drive
yeah.
bikes, but but it did have the shifter up on the handlebars.
Yeah, the like thumb shifter. Clicker, yeah,
you know, you can move.
Yep. Yep.
But to keep up with the Stingray folks, who they loved to, right above our house was a gully, and it was a. Yeah, as a little kid, you know, I'd probably go look at it now and go, ah, that's nothing but a ditch. yeah. But, you know, it's probably dropped down a good 10 feet at least, right? And there was always
single,
a path.
Single tracking.
Where the kids went. So that's where the Stingrays were, like, all over that, right? And it's like, hey, I can do that on my three-speed. And sure enough, you know, it was good. To where I was out there running that three-speed back and forth. And thank goodness for Schwinn. they did make a durable bike. I was also happy. I was also happy to eventually graduate to the Peugeot U08 10-speed.
That's Schwinn. Did you plant the front wheel and go over the handlebars occasionally?
I'm knocking on wood here. I've never done an endo on any bike, but yeah, I understand that's why now on mountain bikes they're going to the 29-inch tires. Mm-hmm. I have done a Saito
yeah.
where I was out on out in Roach Harbor area. They got some great trails there, and I had my mountain bike with its puny little 27-inch, 26-inch wheels. And the front wheel lodged nicely between two tree roots, and it was literally impossible to go forward or backward. So I went sideways into the bushes.
oh, my gosh. Holy cow.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, you know, I mentioned this earlier in the show on next Tuesday, on the 19th. I dress up as Father Christmas, not the real Santa Claus, of course. And there are a lot of people dressed in Santa's costumes that are helpers, if you will, of the real Santa. Have you ever played Santa, any of you? No? How about no. You must have, Truman, haven't you? No, I resemble
that remark.
He didn't mean it that way.
For that belly, buddy, he could have gone all natural. Oh, yeah. No, I never have.
No. Oh, geez, I have, as you know.
Yes.
And Betty Edwards supplies me with this absolutely gorgeous Father Christmas robe. And I lead the singing at the theater every year. This is the 36th year that that is happening. Yep, and it's free, and the words are all up on the screen, and there's music that you know you're basically singing karaoke to the music that's on the screen at the theater. But it was funny at Christmas time. I typically will post a picture of Lynette and myself in our, you know, Father Christmas and Mrs. Claus outfits. And my brother, his grandson, were looking at pictures of family on Facebook, and they came across this picture of Lynette and me. And he goes, and he looks at it, and he goes, you know, that's not the real Santa Claus.
How old is he now?
That's a good question. He's right in that sort of crossover time.
Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, you know, that's not the real Santa Claus. And my brother goes, why do you say that's not the real Santa Claus? And he goes, because Mrs. Claus in that picture is way too pretty.
Oh boy.
So Lynette loves that story.
Yeah, did he score with Lynette or what? Oh man.
That's right.
That's great.
How do they celebrate Christmas in New Zealand or Australia? Do you know, Bruce? I mean, just like we do here, or do the Maori have do they have any seasonal celebration in New Zealand? Do you know?
Yeah, they celebrate Christmas in much the same ways that we do. Of course, it's the middle of the summer.
Right.
So, you know, it's a shrimp on the Barbie kind of thing, uh-huh. even though Australians would never say that. That's an American creation. But
right.
But yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, the classic sort of New Zealand and Australian trope is that you've got this, and this is sort of a late 19th, early 20th century trope. You've got these families out in the bush, you know, dressing up, you know, with heavy wool clothing and sitting down for Christmas dinner with, you know, hasting pudding and all that sort of stuff, and just sweat pouring off.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's 98 degrees, you know, and yet those English Christmas traditions were transformed and to Australia and New Zealand, and were maintained, particularly when they were very strong colonial societies. And so it's just become a kind of trope. And it's always, you see ads a lot of the times in Australia and New Zealand publications, sort of with one side of the ad being this sort of traditional English Christmas with people just dying of the heat. And then the others is on the beach with a barbecue and sort of shorts and T-shirts and that kind of stuff. Wow. It's an interesting way that the culture transforms itself.
I was wondering about that because they're in the middle of the summer like that. Mm-hmm. Kevin.
I just wanted to, I have the good opportunity to have wished a good friend of mine happy Hanukkah, and they were able to relay the lighting of the menorah tree and, you know, the bringing the light into the house through this season, which is, the shorter days. And so it's just a pleasure to be able to share that, also their experience of this time of the year and the season and the traditions that surround their beliefs and their faith. Yeah. And their views. So it's a good time of sharing, right, and reaching out and understanding how we all look at the season ahead and how we recognize and celebrate it. Ask people, right, how they're, I think your questions are great, right? How are we approaching the season, and what are you doing to recognize the
year? Right. We do sing some Jewish songs on the evening of the 19th. As I think about Christmas, one of my favorite memories is my sister, who's now gone. She's been gone now for 12 years. She taught me that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the people who iron the tinsel that they put on the tree, and the kind that ball it up and throw it on the tree. But, you know, I don't know if you can even find tinsel anymore. You mentioned tinsel or icicles or whatever people called it. It's difficult to find.
Now, Captain Joe has something about tinsel. He said there's only one way to put tinsel on a tree. Isn't that right, Captain Joe? No, tinsel, putting tinsel on the Christmas tree. There's only one way to put it on.
No, there are two ways to do it, but there's only one way I do it.
Yeah, but that's the Captain Joe's way, is the way, right?
Which way is that?
You stand back about 5 feet and you throw it.
See, he's a bunch thrower.
I was thinking that you were the individual.
Yeah, my sister.
No.
Mary R. was the individual, and Captain Joe.
See, I told you, there's really
bunch and thrower. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
You just lay it down, and you run your finger across it to get it all perfectly smooth, and you put it up one tinsel at a time. Kevin,
you know, I'm envisioning a handful of tinsel and a fan.
Yeah,
you know, could be some ways to go at it. They're different.
That's right.
Anything to facilitate that. Hey, for Anna Sander, the Honeybees, Play School Carolers, Kevin, Bruce, Truman, and me, I want to thank you for listening to Brown Briefly and ask you to tune in next Tuesday when Kevin will be hosting the show. And who's going to be on the Small Talk segment next week, Kevin? Do we know for sure?
I'm so excited. Our good friend Marielle Thrasingham, who is well known on Vashon, of course, from her tenure on the Vashon School District School Board, but also her, like you may not have heard as much about her work with Front and Centered, which is a organization dedicated to fair and equitable access to housing in a climate-friendly environment. So, Marielle will be here to sort of share what their focus is, particularly as we lead up to the legislative session starting on January 8th next year.
All right. Thank you all. A Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays and a happy new year.
Indeed. Here we are.